We will go ahead and call the March 2nd, 2023 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission to order. Because I have it, I used it. Can we call the roll, please?
Commissioner Sibley.
Here.
Commissioner Fenster.
Here.
Commissioner Guyou.
Here.
Chairman Lane.
Here.
Commissioner Norton.
Here.
Commissioner Jacoby. Councilmember Rodriguez.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We do have a quorum. We'll move on to approval of the February 2nd, 2023 minutes. I know we did have one correction. Is that in the draft that's online or just on the? It is both. The correction is also published? Okay, great. So we had one correction to note of the approval of the bylaws to include applicable city, state, and federal laws and regulations. That was a correction from Commissioner Barnert, which is now incorporated. Are there any other comments or corrections on those minutes? And if not, I'd entertain a motion. All right, I have a motion to approve the minutes from Commissioner Fenster and seconded by Commissioner Jacoby. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Next, we have report from the chair. I did want to make one comment that we can probably also address in the retreat, but I did have a question come up about this body and how it operates and the kind of relative formality of it, say compared to other boards that might meet around a table in a conference room somewhere. And I guess I wanted to just remind us all, especially for any new commissioners, that we are set up this way because we are a quasi-judicial body that has to act on applications that come in and take public hearing, and it's a more formal situation, and so we are stuck in this sort of environment where it is not as free-flowing as maybe a Parks and Rec board or something like that, but that's in part because of how this commission is actually set up. And if we end up with one of the staff attorneys at the retreat, maybe they could explain that in more detail if necessary. The one other thing I would like to note is that the Longmont Downtown Development Authority is actually hosting next Wednesday at 6 o'clock at the Longmont Theater a Building Better Cities kind of little seminar or discussion, and they're going to be talking about how to grow downtowns while retaining their character. Since that downtown is in a National Historic District, I thought that might be something worth attending, so I probably will be there. And if anyone else is interested, I encourage you I think you can RSVP through their website, but I'm sure you can also just show up.
I do have a link to the RSVP as well, so I will send that information around. I'll send that out next week, or not next week, gosh, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, that is the day I'm looking for.
That'd be great. Thank you. All right. Communications from HPC staff liaison.
As I noted, I will be sending out that information tomorrow regarding the LDDA panel discussion. And we'll talk a little bit about the retreat once we get a little farther down. That's the main thing I wanted to discuss as well. But I will be sending a calendar invite for that, since we do have a time and a location as well. So I'll cover that a bit more. Otherwise, it was great to see folks at the Saving Places Conference. So I thought it went well in the new location.
I know you've been out of pocket for a little bit, but one of the things that we had on your list that was on the higher priority was grant applications for cultural resource surveys. And I want to keep that, on the tip.
Yeah.
And I think Brian, at your last meeting, said we have gone through an interview process. We're trying to supplement our staff that is kind of short at the time being. So we found a very good consultant that's kind of local, has some good historic preservation and grant writing experience. So we just have to sign a contract. So I think that'll really help bolster us and get some of these things moving.
Wonderful. Great. Good to hear. Any other commissioners have a question for staff? No? All right. Thank you. Okay. Next is our public invited to be heard for topics that are not otherwise on our agenda. I am not seeing anyone in the audience, so unless someone comes barreling through the door in the next 5 seconds, we're going to go ahead and close the public invited to be heard. And that moves us on to new business, which is the Terry Lake Sanitary Sewer Project.
All right, good evening. So this is kind of a weird one. There's really kind of no other way to put it. So Boulder County Planning reached out to staff in the last couple of weeks. Their Historic Preservation Advisory Board has basically asked us to weigh in on some buildings at the historic Nishida Farm up on 66 that could potentially be impacted by the sewer project. So it's a regional sewer project. They are basically exploring either mitigation options for 5 structures or possibly if we have ideas on any appropriate interpretive options as well. So the challenge is, so this is a really not great map, but so yellow is city of Longmont, the pink is the sewer line, and then the properties in question are basically here. So these are kind of the properties in question. So as it stands, the sewer project has been designed to kind of loop behind the farm, so they don't necessarily impact the buildings, but there's the challenge also of at some point in the future, Highway 66 is probably going to be widened, which would impact the structures regardless. So, and they also mentioned, you know, having us weigh in on structures that were at a little farther to the east at 9911 Ute Highway. That is in the city of Longmont, city limits. However, so I guess the idea is they could potentially reroute the sewer line. They're trying to figure out if there are options, if there's a dog that'll hunt on what they're looking for. Sorry, my Southern just came out. But so basically they're trying to figure out if there's a way to either maybe, if we think the 9911 buildings might be worth pursuing significance on, or if they should be pushing harder on the Nishida Farm buildings. There is a cultural resource survey for the 9911 that was done by Boulder County, that was done at some point. So there was a cultural resources assessment done for the 9911 properties, and they weren't really found. The feeling was that they didn't really meet any of the requirements for a National Register listing. So really, this is mostly a discussion item for you guys, and if you have any feedback that we should be sharing with the county, that's something that we can weigh in. After you guys weigh in, I can share that with the county. So there's really kind of, they're not asking us to evaluate. They're basically saying, do we think it's significant enough for them to push harder on? And the other challenge is that this sewer project is pretty far into the process. The plans were approved fairly early last year. So it's, I think they're trying to, I don't know if it's a Hail Mary for them or what, but it's very, they're basically trying to figure out what they can do, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Commissioners have questions for staff?
I'm a little ignorant about all this. Why is this of interest?
Yeah, hit your mat. There you go.
Yeah, why is this of interest to us at all?
Basically, it's within our city's planning area. It's basically within our growth area. It's adjacent to the city of Longmont, intergovernmental coordination and all of that. So we don't have jurisdiction over the property in question, the old Nishida Farm. We don't currently have jurisdiction over that. It's not annexed. There was an annexation referral done back in 21, but that's since expired, so we don't have anything active for this particular property.
Are there any risks that we should be aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. So, Glenn, do you have thoughts on this?
Well, I think they're just trying to widen up their scope of professionals who are looking at this and to give them a little bit more, I guess, feedback that is it worth rerouting the sewer line? I think they're just looking for some professional recommendations.
Yep.
I don't know that we've have an example where this has come up before.
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm sure it'd be great. I'm sure we can ask them for anything on our city in the future.
Right. Commissioner Jacoby, did you have?
Yes, I have a question. Maybe you have an answer. Wading through all that paper that you sent, you know, the 11th hour paper, the engineers, Northern Engineering said that the buildings are in poor condition, and due to the condition of the buildings, demolition would be recommended. Centennial Archaeology said the integrity is past where it can no longer support eligibility, but the County Historic Preservation Advisory Board voted 3-0 to preserve it, it sounds like, if I'm reading this correctly. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, do we have any information on why they felt preservation 3-0, why they felt it was worth preserving when most of the data that you sent us suggests otherwise?
Sure. So in speaking with Boulder County staff, the preservation context has to do with the Nishida Farm, which is one of the examples of Japanese farming communities, and, you know, Japanese farms after the internment camps were closed. So you had a number of Japanese farmers who came up to northern Colorado, et cetera, and began, you know, either began or continued farms that they had already had prior to the war. So because it is, does still have a number of its buildings intact, and because it does have that historical significance, that was the rationale for taking another look at it. The question, too, you know, from staff's perspective is, you know, this is definitely significant to this region from a historical standpoint, but from a practical matter, given, A, the sewer project, which is actually going to be going behind, you know, the current alignment would not necessarily impact the buildings. But I think the sense is, because the condition is so poor, they're just going to go ahead. The plan is to take them down. Boulder County does have a deconstruction ordinance, but it's more of a sustainability-oriented ordinance rather than a historic preservation, you know, saving historic features type ordinance. So they do have an application for review for this deconstruction, and they basically are asking, you know, they're looking for options that could avoid negative impacts to the structures. And if they're, you know, if that's unavoidable, you know, looking for suggestions on what types of interpretive, you know, measures would be appropriate.
Commissioner Gayu?
I mean, I would, yeah. So I was going to highlight the fact that, yes, this is a, you know, Japanese-American farm, that we don't have very many of those left. Mm-hmm. So that in and of itself elevates the significance of this property. I mean, it appears to me that they can easily bypass this property, correct?
Correct. And the current alignment seems to show it bypassing this property as well.
And, you know, while, yeah, it might not be, you know, in a shape to be on the National Register, doesn't mean it. It sounds like the county, at least at one point, was supportive of it being on the county register. And as we know, you know, the difference between additions and restoring something is just money. So, you know, and especially at this period where people are very interested in diversifying preservation, this would probably be a good property to get grants, et cetera,
for
the restoration of it. So I would hate to see them just take it down, because that's the easiest thing for them to do when they can just simply bypass it and mothball it.
And actually, looking at some maps as well, it looks like effectively, I take back what I said, because this is, so this alignment, this is the farm, this would be impacted. So basically the question is, can we flip this U or reroute the sewer line so it would not impact it? So I do apologize for misspeaking on that.
I mean, from the pictures that they provided, there's still, you know, a lot of original material there. It might have been added to, and window frames might have been filled in and things like that, but I, you know, from, there's pretty, you know, goodly amount of photographs here, I would suggest that there's still enough there. I've seen a lot less come back to something meaningful.
Mm-hmm. So really, I think the question from the county is, you know, I hate to say, for lack of a better way of putting it, they're looking for backup.
Sure. Right. Well, I mean, if you look at that Northern Engineering plan, it's their sheet SS1, demolition and overall sanitary plan. I mean, it's an enormous scope in terms of how, you know, the area. But it's only a 15-foot sanitary sewer easement that appears to be straddling the property, which would be typical.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't appear that there are the structures that they're, well, okay. So the structures that they're identifying that would be impacted by it are the two on the far south. I mean, one of them's running right through the middle of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way to build this plan as designed without taking that house down. And then what I don't know, looking at that drawing, is, you know, is that really the edge of the Highway 66 right away, right? Because if it is, then the house is sitting half on the right away and half on the property line.
And
if that's the case, you know, it's a little harder to say, well, we got to do everything we can to approve, you know, to keep this building if it's potentially going to get wiped out by CDOT at their discretion whenever they decide.
When they widen 66.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's...
So I will say CDOT will be held to a higher standard than we are for preserving that property and the county as well. Yes. So saving it for CDOT to make a decision might actually help save it.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah, so what I'm looking at with the property line, it looks as if, from what I can tell on this particular plan, on page 23 of the packet, on page 23 of it's probably going to be a little farther along in your packet, but it's it looks like the property line kind of goes right to the edge of the building, so it would be in the easement, but it's not in the right of way.
Commissioner, let me just get your mic on. Yep. Commissioner Fenster?
Yes. Has any effort ever been made to preserve remains of the internment.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. Out in Grenada, there's an internment camp there, and it's actually being moved into the Park Service currently.
Yes.
Was there federal money involved?
Well, yes.
It should have been, yeah. Mm-hmm. I hate to see anything torn down from that period of their original structures.
Yeah.
It'd be sad.
Just going to see if I can get this detail plan pulled up. It's a little easier to see.
And this shows it pretty well. Page 120 shows it pretty well.
120.
Weird little jog out.
I'm on the HTML agenda, so that makes it a little different.
Well, but mine's different than Steve's. So,
we're all.
It's this one.
103.
Yes, 103.
Okay.
I don't know why I have
160. Don't look too closely while I'm scrolling.
I got the extra. Yeah, let's see what those are.
All righty, here we go.
Yeah.
Let's try again. There we go. Yeah, because you can see that little jog in the property line, and that's typically, yeah, the right-of-way would ultimately come up, straighten out. That's where the right-of-way would come out.
So, for example, we would think CDOT would be sort of obligated to move the building if there was a. You have any idea what their process would be? Would it be a case of they would have to take a cultural resource survey? If it showed significance, then they would be sort of obligated to move the building back off the right of way line.
I don't know if it would get that specific, but they'd definitely be obligated to mitigate it in some way if it was going to be demolished. Sometimes they have stricter regulations with the 4F, which is some regulations from the federal highways that only allows them to have certain options with cultural resources. But that gets funky, especially, and I don't always know the 4F regulations, and it doesn't look like they could move stuff. They could widen south and leave that in place. Also, like, is this imminent, or is this one of those things,
Am I not talking loud enough for everybody?
Yeah, if it's a quick one, I was going to let it go, but then you're...
Yeah, it just won't get recorded without the microphone.
Okay. Is CDOT's involvement actually imminent, or is this just one of those things, like, we all anticipate 66 will be widened relatively soon?
Exactly. We don't have any plans on the table. It's one of those, at some point in the future, it will probably be widened, but we don't have immediate... I'm not aware of immediate plans to widen it, but you can definitely see that the right-of-way has been acquired, that there is the right-of-way acquisition or right-of-way dedications that have that in mind. So I think the long-range plans show for it being widened, but there aren't necessarily funds allocated for it. So nothing has gone into design or anything.
Okay.
Has there been any federal involvement, Interior Department, for example?
It's a state highway.
Yeah, it's a state highway. And
yeah, but the buildings themselves are subject to preservation.
It's so the surveys that have been done for these properties, they found that they're locally significant but not nationally significant, so they would not trigger any necessarily federal protections. It would really be at the county level.
On my page,
On my page 135, and it's showing remaining five structures and, you know, arrows, and it looks like building C, which is that lump that's closest to the road, it looks like that's what's remaining. I'm not sure that I'm reading this right. Are they saying that's supposed to remain?
No, these are the structures that are here now.
Got you. Yeah, they might.
The other properties were there in 97 when Carl did this survey.
Okay. I was looking at this and I'm like, I'm reading this wrong. I have to be. Okay.
This is from Carl McWilliams. He's got a very, very particular style.
Okay.
Nice. This is from his 97 cultural resource survey that showed the property being of, you know, of value.
Okay.
And then, but all of those other buildings are now gone.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. Thank you.
I have another question. So,
are you on? Oh, you're on. Okay. All right. Great.
Sorry.
All right.
No,
that's, oh, all right. Nobody shut you off.
Sorry. Okay, okay. Now I'm on. Okay. So, back in the 90s, Carl did the inventory form and it went to the SHPO's office and it was determined officially eligible. So Centennial has recommended that they no longer think it has integrity, but I don't see a change in the official determination of eligibility. So as far as the state is concerned, I think the State Historic Preservation Office would still identify this as officially eligible for the National Register, if that helps Boulder County.
This is good information.
Okay. And I could be wrong, but I'm not seeing it on the forms that have been given to us. And I'm also not sure why the SHPO would change their previous designation.
This is good information. So this is the kind of information that I think will be useful to the county.
Okay.
I mean, it feels like it has a decent amount of sort of adjacency to the whole Latin Barn property that we dealt with, you know, not too long ago, right? It's a property that was valuable at one point. There has an association with someone, with a family that was, you know, important in Longmont for one reason or another. It was in much better shape 25 years ago than it is now. But there's a story to tell, right? And I think we're at least in the more enviable situation of not having to make that final determination and split the hairs about whether the buildings themselves are, how important they are individually versus the whole and what the appropriate solution is, right? But I think I would certainly support Boulder County in pushing for some recognition on the property, right? That there needs to be some value, explained here. Yeah.
So this is a case where we don't technically have jurisdiction, but the commission could certainly make a recommendation to Boulder County.
I also wanted to bring up, because it felt like in their original ask, is that they were asking us as the Longmont HPC to comment on the other property. So if we look at the option two for the sewer line back earlier in the packet, there was another option that Northern had proposed that went down a property to the west that is, in fact, in the city of Longmont. And I got the impression that the Boulder County Preservation Commission was asking us to comment on that particular property and whether or not it had value. And my reading between the lines, which is just a guess, was if we said, oh, gee, that property doesn't have any value, then they could push further to say, why don't you go back to option two and move the line. Now, we don't have any resources, but you, Jennifer, you said you had a cultural resource on that 988.
I do. It is.
I don't know if it's something you can share with us.
Sure. So this is the cultural resource form or inventory form for 9911, which was the Beaupré House. And ultimately, they found, based on this inventory, that, let's see. It's officially not eligible. So it doesn't have, it's not a local landmark. It doesn't meet National Register criteria. It could meet local landmark significance. It meets three out of the eight, basically. So the question is, you know, would this be significant enough to warrant essentially sacrificing the Nishida properties, or are the Nishida properties more significant? So. taking Steve's interpretation, it's effectively, how are we splitting this baby up?
So do we have pictures or any further information about the other property?
I've got the survey pulled up that was completed. And so,
see picture?
Yeah. Sure.
If nothing else, maybe we can get a Google map. I drove by it.
Yeah.
I mean, because obviously, you know, if we're going along the lines of determinations, the Nishida farm has officially been determined eligible, and the Beaupré farm has been officially determined not eligible. So you would sort of guesstimate that the Nishida is more significant than the Beaupré farm.
That's the sense I'm getting as well.
And I would say, culturally.
Culturally, I think that's true.
Yeah.
Architecturally, I think I would say not. So driving past both, or in fact, I just sort of went around and went in, so hopefully no one got mad. But but the buildings on the Beaupré property are kind of interesting. There's a pretty cool, you can see the kind of agricultural silo building. There's a barn back, there's a sort of chicken coop thing in the front here, and then there's another barn in the back that's pretty interesting looking. The house that's on the far left is sort of a brick, pretty basic, but not, it's still, I'm sure it's older than 50 years old and simple little farmhouse. So from an architectural standpoint, there's probably more material
integrity
in this property, not the cultural aspect. So now we're in a more complicated.
Does the forum indicate, or do you have the official determination of ineligibility and why it was determined to be ineligible?
So I have the, what's pulled up here, let me make it a little bigger so that our eyes can see it. So the National Register criteria, it did not meet any of the National Register.
Well, this is the form that somebody filled out. So do we have the letter from the SHPO's office saying, here's why it's ineligible?
I'm not aware that we do.
Because, I could fill this out and say, I don't think it's eligible. But that's not the official ineligibility.
I do not. This is what was provided to me by the county, and it was this particular assessment. It did not have an official SHPO letter.
It was Commissioner Norton, you had a comment?
Yes, thank you. So I think it's pretty much just going off of what Commissioner Gayu said. You know, if we're looking at these official determinations of eligibility, it would make sense that the Nishida property after 25 years would probably only become more significant for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. But it would also be reasonable that if the last time the Beaupré property was looked at was 25 years ago, our ideas of significance have changed. And so there might be reasons that today the SHPO's office would identify it as significant, whereas it wasn't in the past. But I agree with Commissioner Gayu, if we're only going by what we currently have, the Nishida property is pretty significant. But I don't think we should be asked to sacrifice one or the other. I know, I mean, there's a lot of property out there. Can they not reroute in a way that doesn't have to knock down any buildings?
Can't they go down the middle?
I know, right?
I mean, there's so much open space there.
Demolition's expensive.
Yeah, it is. And it has to do with, you know, easement acquisitions and such as well. So, and that's kind of... I feel like we would be in a much better position if this question had been asked of us 2 years ago. Frankly.
Yeah.
And that's really the challenge we're faced with from a practical standpoint.
Yeah, because, I mean, when it was determined ineligible, you know, maybe 15 or 20 years ago, you know, Longmont and surrounding areas had a lot more farms.
Yes.
And a lot of them are gone now. They're going every week. You see another one gone. And so, you know, this now might be significant because of its integrity as a, you know, an example of a local farm. And so they might both be officially eligible and significant now. Okay. So I would suggest, you know, I mean, it sounds like the Nishida farm, you know, has been currently, you know, recently assessed. I don't agree with their assessment. But the Beaupré farm, if this was the last time it's been assessed and we don't actually have an official assessment, then I would suggest that that needs to be currently assessed too, if they're suggesting that they're going to choose between these two properties to tear down. It's
like, so what I'm hearing is that staff, we should be coordinating with Boulder County, further coordinating with them to get SHPO determinations of eligibility for both of these farm properties before we can make an actual determination.
And isn't the Beaupré farm in the city of Longmont?
It's in the city of Longmont, so I would be working.
We do have authority over that.
We have authority over the Beaupré, and currently the Beaupré is not being impacted.
Right.
So it's really, from our perspective, I think, you know, they're trying to figure out if, you know, we're willing to sacrifice the Beaupré versus the Nishida. And it sounds like there's enough thinking that there's enough potential significance for these properties that we would not necessarily be in favor of changing the alignment. That's what I'm hearing. If I'm mishearing, please let me know.
I think we would like it changed to something else altogether.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Is there an option three that does not somehow negatively impact both potentially valuable properties?
Right.
You know, right is the sweet spot. But I don't think the Beaupré is a sacrificial lamb to offer.
Okay.
And unless I'm wrong, there's a general feeling of support for the Boulder Preservation Commission in pushing back to some degree on this demolition at the Nishida farm as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Rick, yeah. Let me get you.
Just a quick point that if preservation of both agricultural properties, it's 1 + 1 = 3. I think you're adding to the environment in the whole area. And so I think we should encourage them to look at opportunities to reroute the line. I mean, we know that the sewer line could be rerouted, but we don't know all the sewer line rerouting options. And so I don't know if they looked at it further, but I mean, I would think we would recommend they try to preserve the best they can both properties.
I'll talk to our engineers who have been working on this project as well.
Do you have enough direction from us, do you think?
Sounds like it. So I'm going to talk to – So my direction as I see it, I'm going to first and foremost talk to county staff and let them know that we do think that the Beaupré property is – potentially has a level of significance to the city of Longmont that we are not willing to basically sacrifice it for the Nishida farm. But that said, we also think the Nishida farm is sufficiently significant that we should – be looking at options to try to preserve both of them. Related to that, I can coordinate with our Public Works Natural Resources staff who've been working on the sewer alignment project and talk to them as far as where in the process, you know, how feasible, if what other options there could potentially be, given that we have two historic preservation boards and commissions who are very concerned about this loss of historic farmland farm properties, especially given that one of them is a Japanese American farm.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty accurate summary of where of what I think we've tried to tell you.
Yeah, I'm going to go write that down right now.
It's recorded, right? You were talking into the mic, so you can go back to it.
Before it escapes, so.
I might just add that engineering is reviewing that portion of Highway 66. I don't know how far west it goes from Main Street, but I know at least a year ago they were starting to look at preliminary plans that CDOT was bringing forward. So It might not be too far in the distant future. Okay. And I don't know if the Beaupré is impacted by the widening of Highway 66.
I think it might be. Yeah.
Okay.
It's all been resurveyed by now.
The roadway itself? Yeah, at least for the length that it's going to be widened. And I'm just not sure how far west it goes from Main Street.
All right. Well, we certainly appreciate, I think, being asked to comment as well. You might also communicate that, but we appreciate being made aware and brought into the conversation, right? I think we have similar goals, and obviously, you know, you're talking about two properties that are adjacent to each other and one in each jurisdiction, so talking with each other is a good thing. All right, thanks. Okay, we'll close that portion of the hearing and move on to prior business. And the first item there is our retreat, which we have somehow miraculously managed to schedule for April 1st. I read that too quickly. April 1st at 1:30 to 4:30 in the Longmont Public Library. So thank you for getting that.
Yes.
And do we have any further information that we want to discuss about that particular retreat in terms of agenda?
And that's really our ask, and part of that is the demolition ordinance table that Brian prepared that we provided you. So really, you know, from our perspective, are there specific topics that you would like staff to do some additional research and work on to move forward? Any particular supplemental guest speakers to come in and do any sort of commissioner training on the city's end, et cetera? So if there's specific agenda items that you would like for staff to set up, that was interesting.
Now, Glenn, you had a kind of a survey a few months back of us, right? You asked us for some feedback.
Right. Yeah, I listed all the different items in that we had talked about for amending the code, and we kind of did a more interactive what's your top three priorities there. We could certainly redo that if you think it'd be helpful. This has really been great. This has helped me out quite a bit. And also, our city attorney, we do have a new city attorney that's representing our department, so he may really be happy to come and talk about quasi-judicial proceedings. You guys, I think they do it for all boards and commissions, or they point you at a recording. The city attorney comes to Planning Commission and gives a really good presentation, so I think their attorney would probably... I think I've asked them, can we do that with this commission as well? Because you have a lot of the same responsibilities. So we'll definitely try and get somebody there to do that.
I think that'd be really valuable for that reason and for the discussion about demolition ordinance so that we can talk through that. And then honestly, if we're really going to talk more about, you know, potential plans and, or you know, overlays and whatnot, having that... asset there to kind of provide bumpers would be very valuable. Other comments from commissioners about, I mean, the ones that I recall would be, you know, cultural surveys, besides the demolition ordinance, surveys, preservation plan, and then discussion about some kind of overlay district of sort, right? So if there are other items that are, we can go back to those meeting minutes. I don't remember if that was a November or December meeting. Felt like something, it was last year.
Mm-hmm. Was it last year? I remember. All right. We'll find it.
Yeah, Commissioner Jacoby.
We'll find it.
The only other thing I suggest.
Oh, sorry, I lost you there. Oh, there you are.
One more. We can do it.
I'm still green. There we go.
Okay.
The other thing I suggested we consider, and we don't necessarily have to, but was, could we do something with the certificate of merit as a more effective tool for preservation in our community? Could we? I realize we can't use state taxes, but maybe we could use waive permit fees if people would agree to having exterior modifications reviewed by our committee, for example. So, just adding
light.
I'm sorry.
Landmark light.
Yeah, there you go. Landmark light. Exactly. They wouldn't get the brass plaque. They wouldn't get that. Yeah. But so maybe adding that to the list.
Right. And that came up during a discussion about a property that was being asked a landmark, and we had a kind of a split board decision. So that's part of where that came from. So. Commissioner Barnett.
Yes. First of all, my apologies for having a crazy day, but I thought, should I be late or just not show or whatever, I'm taking my chances, so my culpa.
No worries. We got your corrections in the meeting minutes.
thank you. And thank you, Maria, for accepting them gently. I was at the meeting in Boulder, a three-day meeting, and I want to thank the staff and the city council for making funds available for us to register for that. One of the things that came up in conversations with people with the various, and also in listening to the various programs, were that there are a lot of state programs available, and some of which, and they said, well, is Longmont taking advantage of the da da da? And I said, I don't know. I'm really the new kid on the block, so I really don't know. Maybe for the retreat, since that's what we're talking about now, and other comments I can make during commissioner comments.
Yes.
But right now, perhaps in the retreat, we could get some, go over some of, have a topic on what programs, you know, something that doesn't really lend itself to the few minutes we have here with staff, but maybe kind of an overview of what programs are available, what programs we take advantage of, such as the facade program, which the person who I spoke to said she didn't think that Longmont was participating in that. I said, well, I don't know. I mean, I went to a panel session on facade programs, and they seemed to be good programs, but you know, I didn't. So I would be interested if we could have a kind of a layout of what's available to us, what we're taking advantage of, what we choose not to, and why, because these are all state-funded activities. I don't know, I'd be interested if the staff has any comments on that, if they think that's too big a thing, it should be a separate deal or whatever, or leave it like that and go with it.
Good question.
And then on the question, I wasn't here, so I don't know if we heard our monthly presentation on the East Side Historic District.
We did not.
Okay. So I'd go back to something, I'm going over the minutes, something that Commissioner Jacoby said was that, well, this has come up, and it's come up, and nothing seems to move on it. So I think what I'd like to hear in the retreat is go over what is it that we need to be doing? What can we be doing as a commission? Is this purely in the hands of staff and we just have to sit here and wait? Or can the commission be having hearings or neighborhood meetings or whatever to kind of get off of square one on this? Because I go back to the minutes from when I first came on. I read some of the old minutes, and you know, every single month we hear the same exact thing, and nothing seems to happen. So are there reasons why nothing's happening? Is it waiting for a bigger project? Is that part of our, can that be part of our whole discussion that I think I came in on, which is discussion on the historic preservation overlays and landmark light or whatever. So I don't know. I don't know if that lends itself. It seems to me it would lend itself to a retreat discussion. So thank you.
Any other discussion about the retreat itself? If there's items, I mean, and I assume this comparison of demolition ordinance is really for us to take home and kind of soak in, unless there's any, I mean, it's a decent amount of information on this one piece of paper.
Yeah, I will mention that this is also Brian's last month, so we're losing a lot, as you can see in this one table. Yeah. So
he's making good on his threats to retire. So.
Yeah. If you'd made your retreat on the 31st, I would have roped him into coming and explaining this table, but.
Right. Well, and it may be for anyone who's really the commissioners here, might be worthwhile taking a few minutes to see if it's accessible online, at least, to take a look at any of the language in these various cities' ordinances, if we really want to take a little time, earmarked time during the retreat to sharpen. I mean, what I'd like to see is us get some pretty sharp detail on progress of where we want to go with this demolition ordinance during this retreat, so that that can be something that can get taken care of in a shorter period of time.
If we didn't have time to look at all of them, which would you suggest by way of comparison, I guess?
But even if you just took one or two and just took, you know, I don't know enough about any of them to know who's, you know,
some
got a better
germane than others.
Yeah.
Would it be helpful if I put together a list of links to their ordinances and sent it to you in advance?
That would be amazing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've got that on my task list. So I will probably in the next week or so then put together a link list and send it to the commission members so you folks can review these ordinances and see what. What's
yeah,
that?
Right.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry. What?
When we were researching preservation plans, I know, I think it was Lafayette stood out.
Correct.
So I haven't looked in detail at their ordinance, but maybe they're tied pretty closely. So I would maybe suggest that.
Yeah, that's a good point. We did have, I think, Lafayette, Boulder, and I don't know if it was Loveland or another community.
But it was Louisville.
Louisville. I got the L right.
L's.
although that's not it's a 50-50 shot. Those three were good, and yes, we did like the Lafayette's plan more than others. Commissioner Barnett.
Thank you. The other thing we talked about is
the
possible retreat.
Yeah, no, I had him on. Okay.
The other thing we talked about as a possible retreat item was this discussion some type of a brochure. I'm trying to remember the exact title of it, but where we had a presentation of different cities, and we liked the Louisville one. It was when I raised this a couple of meetings ago, the observation of staff was, well, they now have somebody that's coming on soon, and people will have staff time to talk about that. Is there any point in talking about that at the retreat, what we'd like to see in something like that, or just an outline of what we might talk about to recommend to the staff to be included in something?
Are you talking about something that would be potentially handed out to potential, I mean, to homeowners or something like that? Or
I'm trying to think of what the name of it was, but it was a historical brochure. Or I'd have to go back into the minutes and look and see. Do staff know what I'm talking about?
I think it's what we just mentioned there. They have a preservation plan. It could have been Louisville. I can't remember. But we did show you as here's a great example of what that could look like. I'm guessing maybe that was it.
It was multicolored.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, we have had discussions in the past over time about outreach to the community. And I think when Karen was here, she did a little bit of that early on, and we did have a few people that came in, and I think we might have had one landmark request and a couple of certificates of appropriateness of folks who decided to do a little work because they learned about the fact that they could get some tax breaks mm-hmm. and so on. And so we have talked in the past about this commission doing a little bit more outreach, and as if I don't know if it's still there, but at one point there was a small amount of budget that was kind of allocated towards the commission, you know, some thousands, nothing giant, but enough to spend, you know, on a little mailer in particular, you know, in our historic neighborhoods, for example, just to kind of give people a little bit more, maybe they're new homeowners or what have you. It's been a while, mm-hmm. right? Just, hey, you can come in here and you can get some money if you want to make an improvement to your property, you can have application fees waived, and you potentially could get some tax credit and money, and it might be worth it, you know, some of that. So that might be where that's coming from, or I might have, or maybe not. But
would it be a possibility to get one of the media, one of the newspapers, for example, to put together an article about what we do that would perform that function? I would think that one of the newspapers would be interested in doing that, and it would give us something to hand out later.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad suggestion. I'm sure between the call and the leader, somebody might be willing to make a little focus, maybe as part of Preservation Month.
Yeah.
Which is coming up, by the way.
So I guess what I would suggest is, you know, I think we can go back to that earlier meeting in terms of the hierarchy of items that we wanted to discuss. If it would be possible for you to, when you send that link out, a proposed mm-hmm. agenda that we can, you know, but because we won't have a meeting between now and
right.
then. So if we can get a proposed agenda out with a, you know, week or two, preferably beforehand, just to kind of vet the information that we want to cover.
Yeah, because I have eight items.
Yeah.
So
yeah, right. Yeah.
It's going to have to be. You're going to have to prioritize that priority.
Yeah,
right.
We do have 3 hours allotted for this. So.
Right.
No.
Not a 3-day tour.
Good luck getting everyone together for 3 days.
Right. So I think that'd be good. We can bullet point them out and maybe have you take a look and say, because you've mentioned it's priority for you to talk about demolitions. We get the city attorneys probably a priority. We can do some outreach to the state as well mm-hmm. and put together, you know, maybe a couple of different agendas for you to look at.
Right. I mean, my thought is if there's a decent amount of time on this ordinance and we get real direction there and we have some broader topics that we just identify as wanting to cover in our meetings that we could, you know, we don't have to solve everything at this retreat. We're just trying to plan out some thoughts. And so then we can include, you know, one of those items on at a hearing. I mean, we have one item today. You know, as we have smaller, you know, if we have a meeting that has a ton of items, then maybe we don't get to it. But if we have a meeting that either doesn't have any here public hearing or we have one small item, then we take one of those components from the retreat and we start talking about it in, you know, a little more detail during one of the our meetings. So anyway.
All right.
Any other comments or discussion on the retreat? No? All right, great. Thanks. And then last on the agenda was Dickens Barn Preservation Plan update. Anything?
Yes. So I was hoping to have an agreement for all of you to look at this evening, but it is currently in the applicant's corporate people's hands. So they're reviewing it currently. So we have been working with the city attorney's office to essentially put together a dedication agreement that would function as a preservation plan, you know, a step one in a preservation plan. So we have a, the applicant is dedicating a pretty good chunk of the property that includes the barn to the city. And the way it's going to be handled is, so we'll record the final plat. So we currently have a site plan and final plat under review. We're waiting on a resubmittal of that. And so hopefully by the April meeting, we'll have basically a draft agenda that's ready for everyone to sign for this commission to take a look at before it goes to, I think, council will have the ultimate signatory authority on it, basically to for this commission to give it its blessings. We've talked quite a bit about the plan for the barn, and at this point, the developer is planning to dedicate the land and the barn to the city, as well as a one-time cash contribution of $70,000 to basically do some stabilization work on the barn as well. So once we have the barn in our own under city ownership, then we can move forward and determine if it's something that we want to go through the landmark process, et cetera. Figure out how we want to deal with it from there and really do some more detailed preservation work and preservation planning for it.
Great. Well, it's exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah. Any questions or comments on that one? Oh, yeah. Okay. Commissioner Barnett?
Yes. Do you have to do anything? No, I'm on.
Okay. Let us go.
During that, maybe you guys never should have paid for me to go to Boulder. There were a couple of presentations, including an absolutely magnificent keynote on the concept of preserving the history of the land, preserving the history of the buildings. That it's not just the building itself, but how do you, and I'm screaming Dickens Barn, I've heard this conversation, what's happening? So I was glad to see it's on the agenda, but I guess my question is, we know that this is not just a building that's being preserved, that there's some historical significance to that building, things that happened there. Mm-hmm. And at one point, there was some discussion that the whether one of the buildings would have panels or something which described why this was a historically significant place. Is that still in the mix?
So that was a discussion that took place early in the planning process for this property that was assuming that the barn would be demolished and not dedicated to the city. They were talking about, well, we can do some interpretive, you know, murals or panels on the building. Now that we're getting the barn, we can actually do something that involves the barn as opposed to a 7-Eleven with some murals on it. So I think we have an opportunity ultimately to do some pretty interesting things here. And because there is a pretty substantial portion of the land that's going to be dedicated to the city as well, part of it for a greenway. This would be basically called greenway land. So it's not greenway per se, but it's property that would go with it. So basically working with our open lands, public, you know, natural resources, open space, parks folks to figure out what box we can put this in so it meets everyone's programmatic needs and et cetera.
It is rather close to a regional trail, so yes, there is great opportunities to kind of educate folks of why this barn is there. So,
yep,
good thoughts.
Very. Yeah, we definitely have some unique opportunities. This definitely is a very unique opportunity, and was happy to be able to, you know, it was great to be able to work with the applicant and make this happen. So, yeah, once the barn is in our possession, then we can really kind of move forward and figure out exactly, you know, what to do with it, what grants to pursue, et cetera.
Great. Commissioner Guy?
So is this, I'm sorry, I think it's been a while since I've, is this the property that is on Highway 119?
Correct.
Okay, so, yeah, but we are losing quite a few other buildings.
We are losing a few other buildings.
I mean, the suggestion I would make is that those need to be documented, and the interpretation, you know, whether it's panels or, you know, QR code or whatever however you want to do it, you know, that still needs to be interpreted, because a barn sitting by itself is not, you know, it's not the story. It's not the full picture of why, you know, there's a reason why that barn was there, and it, you know, and the barn doesn't necessarily tell that story just by itself. So, yeah, so, I mean, you know, the family was there, and they had a house, and they did, you know, they farmed or they ranched, whatever they did, so they had these outbuildings that are associated, you know, with their home and with their property and with the land as a larger feature. So that's probably what I would suggest we would be interpreting, would be the actual, you know, this, mm-hmm, the farm life that the barn was part of. And that's,
right.
You know,
and I,
left,
I would. So. It seems that would be part of the barn rather than some panels on the 7-Eleven, though.
Right. No. Yeah. I would say. I would suggest, like, along the greenway,
yes,
you,
yes,
would have,
yes,
maybe, as you know,
yes,
two or three, however, you know, however many you wanted to have, but that would tell the story of that farm, not just the nice barn.
Great.
Commissioner Jacoby.
Yeah, I'd like to echo that the barn standing by itself is maybe a little less interesting than if we could include some information about the neighboring farm that came with it. Driving by, you know, we all drive by that place all the time, right, going out to the I-25. Some of the sheds look like they're in rehabilitatable, if that's a word, state, or in reasonable state, and some are totally trashed. Mm-hmm. The structural assessments we have are from the original developer who really wanted to tear everything down. And I wonder if we could look at some of those, again, from the city standpoint, if it's going to be on city land, and see if any of them can be preserved. And it might give it a bit more context to the barn. And the second thing I wanted to say was, yeah, you know, I'd love to see, especially if it's going to be right on the greenway and the bike path is going there. I've written up a history of Mary Dickens that I submitted to the newspaper that they promptly ignored for last year's Historic Preservation Month. I could give you that if you'd like to look at it, because that would be interesting to put on a panel. And another point that I think might be interesting for an educational panel, that property is at the intersection of the Homestead Act, which brought a lot of people out to the area before the city was even formed, and suffrage and women's rights. Up until just about that time, women could not own property. So this is, it kind of brings up a number of factors of history that are kind of interesting, and that could be put on a panel too. So just throw that out there.
Great, thanks.
So with regard to the other buildings that are on the property, those would stay on the property that's to be developed. I need to double check on the plat, but
okay,
I'll have this for you at the next meeting. It's really the only barn that would be, or the only barn, the only building that would be dedicated to the city would be the barn. They've really kind of adjusted some of their lot lines and dedications and such to make sure that the barn is outside of their development envelope, which it was not prior to, you know, which originally they weren't planning to do at all.
Commissioner Gao?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think probably what Rick was talking about is maybe, you know, they would let you move some of those smaller buildings onto your property so that, again, so that, I mean, they wouldn't be in their original position, but, mm-hmm, they would, you know, allow for a little more context to the barn.
Yeah, so I actually have gone on the property and into the barns and the buildings, and I would say the barn is the least sketchy structurally of them all. There are some sheds and some chicken coops, and they're in various states, but I'll go back and take a look at the historical surveys and such and the photographs, but I know there were a couple that were in pretty rough shape. The house is not in terrible shape, but I know it's also been altered pretty heavily, so that it's not really close to its original form. So definitely have some challenges, but that's something, you know, we can look at it. I mean, I know we've gotten a lot more out of the developer than we thought we were going to get out of them. So I think that's something we need to keep in mind.
It's a win for sure.
Yeah.
Any other comments or questions about this particular item? No? Okay. Then we'll move on to the last, which is comments from any of the HPC commissioners. General comments. Commissioner Jacoby.
At the risk of making this meeting longer, we were talking about outreach, and you probably all know I live in a city designated home, and I live in a historic district. And I went to a neighbor's house the other day, or about a month ago. And after our last discussion, our last meeting was kind of interesting because they have all new double pane windows. And I thought about it, and they had actually installed it themselves. I'll bet they didn't come before the commission. This was about, maybe 20 years ago that they installed the windows. The same owners sold the house about a year and a half ago, but just before they did that, they installed a swamp cooler and they put it on the roof. And this is a designated house as well, which is interesting. Also, last week, I was cleaning out files, and I was looking at a file of paperwork on my house, and I received a letter, August 2018, from Karen Bryant, the senior planner, historic preservation planner, and it was sent to Dear Property Owner, your property is listed on the City of Longmont's Register of Local Landmarks. And it goes through and it explains to the owners of the house what they've got. We should be reaching out to everybody in these districts, but we should be especially reaching out to the owners of these houses, because I don't think that the modifications made to this house that I was discussing was done with any malice. I think they didn't think that they had to come before the board. They had forgotten. Okay. This letter says examples of exterior alterations requiring certificate of appropriateness include painting, window or door replacement, roof replacement, siding replacement, room or deck additions, and porch enclosures. Well, I can tell you, I have painted my house different colors without coming to the board. I know many of my neighbors have. If this is something we truly want to be in control of, and I'm not so sure we really care about what color they paint the house, so long as they maintain it, but if we want that, we need to get this letter out to them. I've also replaced the roof on my house. Had hail damage, contacted my insurance. I didn't think to come here. I put the same kind of roof on. Maybe we should modify this and not say we need to know about painting. Maybe we only need to know about roof replacement if replaced with different materials, for example. But if they're just going to, you know, renovate the roof, we don't need to have to go through the whole dog and pony show. But I think we should send a letter like this out to all designated homes at least every couple years. This is dated August 2018. And so, because it's really an honor system we have for maintaining these homes after we designate them. But it's clearly, you know, I've seen some violations just, you know, locally. I'll bet there's a lot more out there. So
I can tell you one thing with regard to roof replacement. What's supposed to happen is if someone pulls a building permit for a property that's flagged as a historic landmark, it's supposed to get sent to me for for review. And at that point, I would also, if it's something that, you know, for example, they're doing like with like, you know, it's one of those taking a look and saying, okay, well, this either needs to go to the commission or staff can sign off on it. And that gets also to our code discussions as we've looked at our code updates, because painting's not in the code anywhere. I've never worked in a place that, I mean, I do know that there are historic districts and commissions that regulate paint color,
right,
and regulate painting types. But it's, you know, they're few and far between. They're definitely few and far between. So that's something as we do our code update and looking at, you know, major versus minor COAs and, you know, what can staff approve versus what requires commission approval. That's something moving forward we definitely need to have, you know, from a staff perspective, it would be really useful to have some good guidance on that.
Hold on. Yep. Let's see. I've got, yes, Commissioner Gayu next first.
So I think part of the issue is that your friend may be in the historic district, but that's a National Register district, and we do not have purview over that.
Mm-hmm. But it's also a city designated landmark, her home.
Her home is also city? Yes. Okay. Well, then, yes, they should have come. But I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, there's this idea, which I actually agree with, which if it's on the National Register, it should probably be on the local register too. But that's what, you know, so we have those, and then the only time we would have purview is if they came to us and they wanted, you know, a tax credit, essentially. So, yeah, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Fenster.
aren't there any protocols in terms of turnover of these properties when you take ownership that informs the new owner that there are limitations and that certain changes in the property would be subject to approval? I'm not aware of that, but it's going to be very difficult to impose such limitations if the owner never knew that they existed.
I believe we do the designation by ordinance, and we do record the ordinance, I believe, to the property. Yep. So, but does somebody read it in their title search?
Well, do the real estate brokers know that they're supposed to inform the new buyers?
Honestly, the real estate brokers usually use it as a marketing tool, like, own this landmark.
Yeah.
Well, but there's a downside, you know.
Yeah. It shows up on a title. It should. Yeah. It should.
Yeah, should.
Okay.
I mean, I think the point is fair. Like, this board isn't really in the at least it hasn't been since I've been on here, with a desire to see every paint color and roof change and so on. That has been, the idea has been that those sort of minor changes would be, really we rely on staff to be that first filter to say, okay, this is pretty basic. We don't need to worry about this. Yeah. We can handle it. We have staff that is, you know, educated and understands this, you know, world here, right? So they're the filter to say, okay, wait a minute, this is enough of a change that warrants coming before the board, you know, but not, like, we don't want to be looking at paint color, you know, and making people go through that either, right?
Yeah, I mean, if they're going asphalt shingles to asphalt shingles, that's one thing. But if they're going asphalt shingles to metal roof, absolutely they would be getting sent to the commission for that.
Okay. The point is still, we need to get a letter out. Mm-hmm. We need to help, especially the current owners.
Yeah, thank you. I've got somebody up here. Commissioner Barnert?
Yes. One of the things that came up during the conference was that in the end of August, there's a meeting in La Junta, and I was wondering if the city had any funds available for people who want to register for that. I'm planning to go. I've made my hotel reservations. For those of you who don't know, La Junta is a fairly significant city historically, including what I didn't know. I had a nice conversation with one of the city managers there, that one of the hotels there was in the Green Book. And so it's, and they're going to be, there's going to be a tour of that hotel with a whole presentation of how it was used as a Green Book hotel. So, and there's evidently, that's just one of many things in La Junta that are architecturally significant.
Ben Sports there. That was the Santa Fe Trail, Ben Sports.
Yeah, yeah,
that's one of the first settlements
of Colorado. Like I said, I have made my hotel reservation, but I didn't register yet, so I didn't know if funds are available for that.
We'll look.
Yeah, we'll look into it.
All right, thank you. Any other commissioners' comments? No? Okay. How about our city council representative?
Thank you, Chair Lane. First of all, as always, thank you for your work and your service to the city. I did want to update you that the mayor has started a new thing with city council where once per month we've been meeting earlier than the normal city council time to specifically discuss boards and commissions because it's become apparent that unless you are the liaison, you generally do not know what the other boards and commissions are doing. And so our first one was a couple weeks ago, and as it concerns this commission, first I explained the quasi-judicial nature of it, and so there's not a lot of special projects compared to, say, some boards that don't have that same responsibility. But I did talk about the monthly updates that you've been getting about the East Side Historic, or I don't know if it's just the East Side, but the Historic Overlay District concept, and that there is a desire by the commission to have another meeting with City Council on the subject. But I know that some of that is determinative of what staff and where they're at, where staff's at on the process, along with consultants and legal. And so the council is made aware, and we will be having another update later this month. And so it'll be before your retreat. So I'm sure that we'll probably be able to do a better update after the retreat happens. So likely in April, I'll be able to give that information to the council. But they are aware of it, and that's still something the commission would like to pursue and speak with council upon. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councilman. We appreciate that communication. All right. That brings us to adjournment, unless anyone has anything else burning a fire. I see nothing. and we have a motion to adjourn from Commissioner Jacoby.
Second.
And seconded by Commissioner Gayo. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you all for your time.